the thief is come to steal and to kill and to destroy. Satan is the great taker of what does not belong to him. He's always trying to get as much as possible and give as little as possible. That's his character.
Welcome to Open the Bible Weekend with Pastor Colin Smith and Colin. Today we continue the message, Your Struggle for Integrity. It's really based on the commandment, Thou Shalt Not Steal. And we began with the definition last time, that stealing is trying to get as much as possible while giving as little as possible. And some of us saw a little bit of that in our own character. And now you're saying that is the character of Satan as well. That's really sobering.
Yeah, it is, and reflects the fact that sin, which comes from him, is in all of us. You know, there's a lot of folks these days who sadly are being drawn to the dark side. And I would ask this question, what is it that you see in the dark side that draws you? Satan has come, Jesus says, to steal and to kill and to destroy. What is it that is attractive about that? The enemy of human souls is the great taker. He promises much, he gives little. There's a lie and a false promise in every sin, in every temptation. Oh, you're going to find great happiness if you come and you pursue this. It always leads to disappointment. In contrast, the light of the Lord Jesus Christ, he comes as the great giver. Yeah. He gives himself. He says, I'm the good shepherd. I come and I lay down my life for my sheep. And then when he comes to us, he says, now take my yoke upon you. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. Because anyone who walks with Christ gains far more than they ever give. If I lay down my life for Christ, to die is gain. And therefore Christ is the great giver, and if I become like Christ, I will want to reflect more of that character. So there is nothing that is attractive in the darkness. There is everything that is attractive in the light.
We're going to continue to see what that looks like from Exodus chapter 20 and verse 15 as we continue the message, Your Struggle for Integrity.
God will hold Christian employers responsible for our stewardship in paying appropriate salaries to those who generate the wealth and the blessing that we enjoy. Then while we're thinking of paying, there's the whole issue, of course, of late payment, bills that hang out there, either from the home or from the business, long beyond the time that they were due to be paid. And the Bible speaks to this. We are to give, Romans 13, verse 7, to everyone what we owe them. If you owe money on a bill, it's no good to say, well, this is a big company and they won't miss it. It is what you owe, and your responsibility is not the company. Your responsibility is your bill. If someone gives you a loan and you do not repay it, that is stealing. It's no use saying, oh, he doesn't need the money back. Whether or not they need the money back is none of your business. Your responsibility, my responsibility, is to pay what we owe. Fourthly, there's the whole issue of copying. Boy, here you come to a sin that I have to say is too common among pastors. Plagiarism. Taking other people's material and speaking it as if it were your own. Then, of course, there is the whole issue of copyright in relation to computer software. Or copying a music CD from your friend at high school, so you don't have to buy one. That is taking what is due to the artist. You say, well, the artist doesn't need it. He's already a millionaire, which is probably true. But think about that. What you're then saying is that it's okay to steal from someone who has more than you do if you think they've already got enough. And if you go with that logic, that would mean that most of the world has the right to steal from every one of us, including our high school students, because half the world owns less than a high school student in America. Copying. Stealing. Then think of this. I've called the last one shallow Christian living. If stealing is about trying to get as much as possible by giving as little as possible, I think that the eighth commandment speaks very powerfully to the way that many people approach the Christian life.
Remember the question that a very rich person once asked Jesus, "What must I do to get eternal life?" You see the whole tone of that question? What's the minimum I've got to give to make sure I get in? How can I get eternity's blessing at the minimum price? Doesn't that show a whole attitude of heart? See, this commandment is like an X-ray of the soul. It shows up what we are really like. We want to get much, and we want to give little. And as I've looked into my own soul, and I guess as you look into yours this morning in the light of the Word of God, maybe we'll confess that this is indeed one of the 10 greatest struggles of our lives. Well, that's enough about breaking the commandment. Our aim is to encourage keeping the commandment. So let's move on quickly to the question, what does keeping the commandment look like? Remember, the best way to avoid a wrong road is always to choose the right road and to go down it as fast as you can. So let's turn over Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 28, where Paul gives us the New Testament exposition of the eighth commandment. Notice it there in Ephesians 4:28. He gives us the negative and then the positive on which we'll focus. First, the negative. He who has been stealing must steal no longer. Well, what are we to do instead? Notice what he says, but must work, doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. So if I ask the question, what does it mean to keep the eighth commandment? The very obvious answer is going to be that it means working and it means giving. Working and giving. Don't steal. Instead, this is what you do. To keep the eighth commandment, you work. And to keep the eighth commandment, you give. The opposite of stealing is working. The word that Paul uses for work here means labor to the point of fatigue. Isn't that interesting? He commends labor to the point of fatigue. That's the meaning of the word that he uses. So if you know what it is to flop into your bed at night and feel pretty well spent, Paul's saying that's a good thing. You've given yourself. That's a worthy thing. The Bible always takes a positive view of work. This is a good gift from God. Tracing the times when the Apostle Paul speaks of working harder than those who wanted to have an easy life in ministry is very significant. He speaks about this in 1 Corinthians 15 and 2 Corinthians 11. He talks about laboring and struggling. These are the kind of words that reflect what authentic work ministry actually looks like. In everything that I did, he said, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak. Work with your hands, he says. So the Bible commends to us the value of working hard. I think that's a note that we need to hear. It's a fundamental biblical principle. And so the New Testament encourages us to approach our work, which after all is the largest part of our time for the largest part of our lives, with a positive attitude. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, working as for the Lord, not for men. Remember that work was given before the fall. Work is not just some kind of necessity that you have to do. It is an opportunity to contribute. And you will be a contributor for all eternity. God has built the desire to contribute into the very fabric of creation. And so whether your work is paid work as an employee, or whether your work involves no take-home pay because you're a student, that's your work. Or you're looking for work, that's your work. Or you're creating a home, that is your work. Or you're giving yourself as a volunteer, that's your work. Whatever the nature of your work, paid or unpaid, remember there was no pay packet in the garden, but there was work. God has called us to contribute. And so find what you can contribute, the Bible would say, and then do it with all your heart. Learn then to love your work and to value it as a good gift from God. Learn to say in the morning, Thank you that I have work. Thank you that somebody so values what you enabled me to do that they're willing to pay me to do it. Thank you because this is your way of providing for me. And it is your way of allowing me to grow, because we grow through our work. It's your way of allowing me to make a contribution. And if you feel you're beginning to outgrow your work, thank God for that. It means you're growing. Warren Wiersbe said once, I've always found it very helpful, do everything you can to the best of your ability. You never know who will be measuring you for a larger task. God knows all about that. And if you come to a point where you have outgrown your work, then thank God for it. He'll lead you to something that will continue to enable you to grow even further. So approach your work with a positive attitude. And then as we seek to work, which is the way in which we fulfill the eighth commandment, we're to offer our work as worship to the Lord. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 7, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, Paul says, not men. Now, I've been thinking about the jobs I've done over the years. A little bit of a strange selection, but never mind. Here we go. Number one, I worked in a grocery store stacking shelves and serving cold meat at a delicatessen. Number two, I worked as a night shift cleaner. And for the rest of the summer, I never read another book, by the way. Three, I worked as a house parent caring for mentally handicapped children. Number four, since that time, I've worked as a pastor. Question, in which of these jobs was I working for the Lord? Answer, all of them. And that is probably the most important thing for many of us to grasp this morning. We often make the mistake of dividing, in a way the Bible never does, things into sacred and secular. We think that pastors work for the Lord and that this puts them all together on another level. But we say, well, I just work for Motorola or District 214 or Julosco. But the Bible never makes that kind of division. Paul says to every Christian, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord. That's the way in which you're to approach your whole thinking about work. Offer your work as worship. Now, I think the reason that we find this difficult is that we're deeply convinced that God is interested in prayer and evangelism and preaching. But we're not half as convinced that God is interested in microcircuitry, school lunches, or checkouts at the grocery store. And the answer to that question is, of course God is interested in school lunches and microcircuitry and checkouts at the grocery store. That's one of the first things we learn in the Bible, that God walks with Adam in the garden, engaging with him in his work. And there was no prayer or evangelism involved. In heaven, there will be no prayer nor evangelism, but there will be work. You will be contributing creatively according to your gifting made perfect. And your work will be your worship. It will be the joy of heaven. You'll be in that zone, a friend of mine calls it the sweet spot, where you're doing exactly what God designed you to do, and you're doing it with fulfillment and freshness for all eternity. And his purpose in work, of course, is that there'll be a little taste of heaven on earth in advance. Think of what this kind of approach will do for the quality of your work. Whether it be a Motorola or serving lunches or whatever it is. If you do it as for the Lord, it will give your work new meaning. It will give your work new significance. You will find new joy in what sometimes seem like ordinary tasks that you can offer as worship to the Lord, because it's what he's called you to do.
You're listening to Open the Bible Weekend with Pastor Colin Smith and a message called Your Struggle for Integrity. It's part of a larger series called The 10 Greatest Struggles of Your Life. And if you missed any of the broadcasts in our series, you can come and listen online at openthebible.org. While you're there, check out a film that's perfect for this time of year. It's called Heaven, How I Got Here, The Story of the Thief on the Cross. It's about the thief who was crucified next to Jesus, how he began his day headed for hell, but he ended up hearing those words from Jesus, "Today you will be with me in paradise." It's a one-hour film that we've translated into over 20 languages, like Arabic, Russian, Chinese, Spanish, Farsi, Hindi, and many others. You can visit our website, discover all the languages, and watch the film for free at openthebible.org/heaven. Again, that's openthebible.org/heaven. Let's get back to the message. Again, here is Pastor Colin.
What does keeping the eighth commandment look like? It involves working. It involves giving. He who has been stealing, Ephesians 4:28, must steal no longer, but he must work, doing something useful with his own hands. Notice why. That he may have something to share with those in need. Something to share with those in need. And whatever stage of life you are at, and whether you are employed or not, and whether you need to be working for money isn't the issue. The issue here is what you can contribute to the life of other people. One of the joys of table conversation at home these days for us in our family is hearing some of Karen's stories that she brings home from teaching young children at Christian Heritage Academy. They have what they call rug time, where she sits on this chair, I nearly said throne, because that's what it looks like, and all the children sit on the rug round her, and they engage in this kind of conversation. And on one occasion, they were talking about what they wanted to do when they grow up. And one five-year-old little girl said, "First, I'm going to be a secretary. Then, I'm going to be a nurse. Then, I'm going to be a mother. And then, I'm going to be a teacher." To which Karen, of course, said, "My, you're going to be very, very busy." "Oh, yes," she said. "And the sooner I get started, the sooner I can retire." Five years old. Now, if you think that work is just what you do to get money in order to build a big enough pile for you to be able to retire, you've completely misunderstood the biblical vision of work. The purpose of life is that we contribute. If you don't have to work for pay, the question is, how can I contribute in the freedom and the blessing that God has given to me now? God has trusted you with time and with talent and with treasure. The question is, how are you using these? As a contribution to the life of others, how are you saying, "Lord, take my gifting, take what you have trusted to me. You've given me the Holy Spirit, not to hold to myself, but for ministry. Don't let me be like the servant who takes what you've given and digs a hole in the ground and just lives my little private life. Give me a vision of why I'm here." The Heidelberg Catechism that I've referred to a few times gives various dimensions of the eighth commandment, and spelling out what it means, it adds this at the end: "In addition, God forbids all greed and all squandering of his gifts." See, if God gave you a gift and you don't use it, that's stealing. Because he gave it so that you should contribute to the lives of others and you should play your role within his kingdom. And if you hold that to yourself, you're doing what the third servant in Jesus' parable did. You're burying it in a hole in the ground. I'm stealing from God. I'm stealing from other people if I do that, by withholding from them what God intended them to receive through me. So whenever I go into a meeting, whenever I'm in a conversation, whenever I'm sitting at a dinner table, the question I've got to carry in my mind, even if it's with my own family, is I have to ask the question, what is the contribution I can make here? How can I contribute? You know, the eighth commandment means having a change of heart. As I look at my life and I see just how many ways I want to be a taker rather than a giver. You see that in yourself? Instead of saying, "How much can I give?" my instinct too often is to say, "How much can I get?" And so if I'm to fulfill the commandment, I do need a radical change of heart. That's what we all need, isn't it? I need to be turned from a taker into a giver. And as in this last moment, I was trying to think of two examples of a taker and a giver, it just came very, very clearly to me. Of course, that's exactly what Jesus is talking about when he described Satan. Do you remember he said the thief is come to steal and to kill and to destroy? Satan is the great taker of what does not belong to him. He's always trying to get as much as possible and give as little as possible. That's his character. He pays terrible wages. The wages of sin is death. So if you do his work, you will be terribly disappointed when you get your pay packet. Right? But Jesus said, I am come that they might have life. That you might have life and have it to the full. You see, Jesus is the great giver of what already belongs to him. Satan, the great taker of what he does not own, the grasper after the throne of God, the grasper after your soul. Jesus, the great giver of life that is already his. And you know, Christ turns takers into givers. And the gospel is more than good advice. It is good news. It's not a set of instructions on how to change. It's not some kind of a manual for how to be a better employee. It's not how to develop a strategic portfolio for giving. It is a new life, a new dynamic, a new heart, a new spirit, a new vision of life, so that freely I may become ever increasingly a giver. Like Christ, whose spirit dwells in me. Pour your life out for him and you will have no regrets. And when you receive your reward, you will not be disappointed. You will not look round heaven and say, was this really worth it? You will stand before him and you will wonder in awe why you found it all so difficult. Those who trust in him will never be put to shame.
What a great reminder from Pastor Colin today that as we understand the gospel and as we begin to apply it to our lives, it really gives us a new heart, a new spirit, a new vision so that we can give freely. What a great look today at how Christ turns takers into givers. Well, our message is entitled Your Struggle for Integrity. It's really a practical message that's part of a larger series on the Ten Commandments called The Ten Greatest Struggles of Your Life. And if you missed any of the broadcasts in our series, you can come and listen online at openthebible.org. You can stream the program or download an MP3 for free. Again, that's at openthebible.org. Well, Open the Bible is a listener-supported ministry, and as you give a gift of any amount this month, we want to send you a copy of John Stott's book called The Incomparable Christ. And Colin, who is this book for?
Well, it's for anyone who wants to know the Lord Jesus Christ better, and it's written by one of the most influential Christian leaders of the 20th century. John Stott was a faithful preacher, a pastor, and a scholar for over 60 years. He's one of my heroes of the faith. I love to read his writing, and never more so than when he's writing on the most central subject of all, the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, this book, The Incomparable Christ, if you've never read a book by John Stott, this is a great place to start. It's a deep dive on who Jesus is, and it comes in four parts. We see Jesus as he is presented in the New Testament, Jesus as he's been presented by the church over the centuries, Jesus as he's inspired various figures in history, and Jesus as he's presented to us in the book of Revelation. It's just a glorious snapshot of who the Lord Jesus Christ is. And I think anyone who reads this book is going to feel that they come to a deeper worship of Jesus, a deeper love for Jesus, and a deeper trust in Jesus too.
Well, we want to send you a copy of this book as our way of saying thank you for your financial support this month. You can give online at openthebible.org or when you call 1-877-OPEN-365. That's 1-877-673-6365. Or again, our website is openthebible.org. For Pastor Colin Smith, I'm Steve Hiller. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join us next time. Open the Bible Weekend is a listener-supported production of Open the Bible.
This is Pastor Colin, and I want you to know about a resource that will help you in your devotional life. It's called Open the Bible Daily. My colleague, Pastor Tim Augustine, takes what you hear on Open the Bible and he edits it into daily bite-sized chunks that you can read in your devotional time in less than 3 minutes. Every day, you'll find a verse of Scripture, a short teaching from God's Word, and an application that you can carry with you through the day. People who use this tell us that they read it every day, and I think that if you try it, you'll love it too. For more information, visit openthebible.org/daily. That's openthebible.org/daily.